Last month, delegates from around the world came to Mexico City for the World Water Forum. This was the fourth such international forum on water. The previous was in Kyoto in 2003. Tony Clark was also in Mexico City in March, but not at the World Water Forum. He attended alternative meetings and events organized by civil groups and water rights activists who were not participating in the other forum. Tony Clark is the director of the Polaris Institute. He's author of the book Inside the Bottle, an expose of the bottled water industry. He joins me now by phone from his home in Ottawa. Hello, Tony, and welcome to Red Eye.
Hi, Mordecai. Good to be with you.
It's a wonderful title, your book. Who's behind the official World Water Forum?
Well, the World Water Forum, this is, as you indicated, is the fourth of these. This is really something that was set up in the late 1990s, beginning in Marrakesh, trying to set something up to get the process going for recognizing water as an economic good and beginning to privatize it, water services and water in general. And the proponents of this really at the very beginning were the World Bank and the and also the big water corporations like Suez and Vivendi at that time, who were the two big leading water private companies in the world. And they began very much along in collaboration with others that process. And what's happened is that there is something called the World Water Council now, which has representatives or people, I should say, not representatives, people participating in the World Water Council from about 50-some-odd countries. But these are people that are unelected and unaccountable, and yet they largely come from the private sector and really are, to a large degree, committed to the privatization of water services. So this is the process that's really begun, and what they do when they invite people from around the world to come to the World Water Forum, they really are trying to get people in municipal governments and city councils and various other civic organizations to come and to participate in this process of the World Water Forum, which in the final analysis is really designed to massage people in the direction of promoting the privatization of water.
The UN has been going down the path of privatization. Do they participate in these forums?
Well, they do participate. It's interesting to note that the World Water Forum hasn't been fully sanctioned by the United Nations, and in some ways that the World Water Forum was set up in that kind of period where the United Nations really wasn't giving as much leadership as it had in the past. And so there was a vacuum that opened up, and this is where the private sector was able to kind of get in and fill that that vacuum and to create this event. But they certainly have been working closely with different departments in the United Nations, but at the same time also working with governments. So this is something that is very much driven by the private sector, but still kind of gets legitimized to some extent. By low-level participation by many of the governments and to some extent by the participation of several departments from the United Nations.
With the key participation of the water corporations that want to make money off of water, is this forum also have elements of a trade show?
Very much so. I mean, I called it in Mexico when I was interviewed there. I called it, a grand circus, and in some ways it is. It's a mixture both of, on the one hand, a kind of a trade show where the companies find ways of, promoting their wares, but very subtly in some cases as well. And on the other hand, also a policy forum, a debate, a debating forum for policy. Except that there isn't much debate. It's mostly very much controlled, and the consensus building that goes on is very, very much controlled and predetermined.
So privatization of water is the goal, and I assume then the dominant theme of the official forum.
Yes, it is, and it's interesting at this particular forum in Mexico City. If you compare it with what happened in Kyoto, just before Kyoto, the big water corporations started to put their markers out there and their demands out, they said in January of 2003, which was a couple months before the World Water Forum in Kyoto, Suez and Vivendi came out saying quite clearly that they were going to pull back on their operations of privatizing water services in the Global South until such time as they had guaranteed financing. And this set things in motion for a whole process through the World Water Forum of coming up with a new plan to provide guaranteed financing for the privatization of water services. And that, of course, meant through not only just through the World Bank, but through also a number of investment strategies and things like this. And something called the Comdesu Report was put together, which was the financing plan that was announced at the World Water Forum in March of 2003. But the whole objective was to get, to fortify the privatization of water services and to meet the demands of the water corporations themselves by coming up with some guaranteed financing in the short and the long term. Now, it's interesting to note that since those moves were made, the companies have actually gone into a decline. If you look at their revenues between 2003 and 2005, for example, there's been of the big three, that's Suez, Veolia, which replaced Vivendi, and RWE Thames, which is the third company, a German-based company. All of these companies have gone into decline in terms of their revenues between 2003 and 2005. And so what we're seeing is that there has been not only a pullback to some extent, but also a decline in their revenues. And furthermore, there have been some very, very serious failed models of takeover in different cities. Just in the case of Suez alone, their operations in Manila, Jakarta, Buenos Aires, in New Delhi, and also in Johannesburg, there have been some serious failures as a result. So what's happened, even the United Nations very recently has said the private sector control and takeover of water services has not worked. And in many cases, it's been a failure and even a fiasco.
Sounds excellent news.
It is an opportunity. It's an opportunity now, and I think this is where people in the movement that we're a part of are saying now's the opportunity to promote the opposite, the counter to what is known as private-public partnerships, the P3s as we know them in this country, which is, of course, the whole process of privatizing the public services in general, in this case water services. And what is happening is that in the water movement, we have been building a process collectively for the promotion of something called public-public partnerships, which is getting public good examples of public sector water delivery to help each other out, to strengthen each other, so that there can be a spreading of public. Of the public sector involvement in water services. And furthermore, also what are called public-community partnerships, which is not only promotion of the public sector in the running of water services, but also with a great deal more community participation and democratic participation in control over the running of those water services. So these models are now coming to the foreground. And what happened in Mexico City was that there were a couple of important forums in the alternative process that went on outside the World Water Forum, and in those fora there were some very important processes that were discussed about how to promote both public-public partnerships and public-community partnerships.
I'd like to get to that in 1 second. I just want to know what tactical considerations there were among the social community groups about participating or not in the World Water Forum, and that's on the assumption that you could have attended.
Well, you know, it was a debate. It has always been a debate, actually, in the water justice movement around the world as to whether or not to participate, even going to these events like the World Water Forum. There are some people that some movements and parts of the movement that say if we do that, we legitimize the World Water Forum, and what we should be doing is organizing our own alternative world. People's World Water Forum events, and just like, for example, the World Social Forum was organized and put together as a counter to the World Economic Forum, things like that. You see what I'm saying is that to organize and create our own space. So there's some people that really have pushed that in the movement, and there are others that say, well, yeah, but we can't let these guys get away with it. We got to be there. We got to put the pressure on, etc. And in Kyoto 3 years ago. We were able to have greater access to the inside. And so the opportunity was provided to have at least, we had roughly 100 activists from civil society organizations around the world, and we came together and we were able to organize very effectively, quite effectively, inside the World Water Forum, and to be able to challenge 9 of the major theme sessions. And to break the consensus in several of those. So we were able to play a much more active role in Kyoto. What happened here in Mexico City is that the World Water Forum tightened up and made sure that things weren't going to go the same as they did in Kyoto. And furthermore, they made it difficult in terms of civil society participation, and the Mexican government was very much in concurrence with that. So it made it difficult for us this time to have the kind of inside presence that one might normally have. Within the movement itself, in terms of Mexico City, the Mexican groups largely said that they didn't want to participate on the inside. They wanted to create these alternative forums on the outside, and that was really what was important to do. And so, as you do with these things in any kind of movement, you really listen to what the people on the ground are saying and follow what they have to say. But there were some groups that got inside space, and they opened up that space on one particular day on March the 19th. For a greater level of an engagement and involvement on the inside. And so that's how it played itself out, more or less, in Mexico City.
So getting back to the main forum that you participated in of social movements, community groups, what goals or strategies came out of those forums?
Well, there were a number of them. First of all, there were different fora, and I just wanted to make a distinction between them. Earlier in the process, on the 13th, 14th, and 15th, there were meetings of and gatherings and larger fora assemblies of what some of us call the more popular movements, the broad-based social movements like peasants and indigenous peoples and the urban social movements. And they met, and also urban workers. They met in their own fora and assemblies during that period of the 13th to the 15th of March, and then the period from the 17th of March through till the 19th of March was an alternative forum organized by NGOs, non-government organizations. And that had a slightly different orientation and character to it. And but in both cases, both these different sets of events generated their own kinds of strategies and tactics of various kinds. For example, out of the social movements, there was an increasing emphasis on the fact that when we talk about water, we're not just talking about the cities. We're not just talking about municipalities. We have to talk about the larger water cycle and the fact that the countryside, the people who live off the land, the peasants and the indigenous peoples, have a very, very vital role to play in the future of this whole drama and agenda that's working itself out on water. For example, we spent a great deal of time in the sessions that I was involved in looking at the city of Mexico City, which is virtually sinking And because the aquifer underneath it, the water has been largely drained from that aquifer, the water basins around Mexico City are very much in decline. And so in terms of the future, they may have to move Mexico City entirely, or if they don't, if not, they're going to have to find ways of getting water in there. And to get water in there means going into the countryside, going into indigenous people's lands, and linking up rivers, and then pumping, literally pumping water, several hundred kilometers from the countryside into water basins that can then provide water again for Mexico City. So we're talking about something that very much sets in motion a potential clash between city and countryside in a way that we haven't seen for some time. And so this was a whole different dynamic that was unfolding there.
I'd like to go into that more. We're sort of running a bit short of time, but that whole difference between NGOs and peasant worker organizations, because one of the things certainly that strikes me is the way the water issue in Bolivia became incorporated into actually a broad-based movement for total transformation of Bolivian society.
Yes, and that's certainly... We've seen the results of that, of course, with the election of the Morales government, and the result of that, of course, also being that Bolivia is now very much on the cutting edge and the champion of fighting for water rights in the world.
Well, we'll have to go into that in another interview, and I really will propose that we do so. So thanks a lot, Tony, for taking time today.
There's much more to cover, but maybe we can do it at another time.
Okay. Bye-bye, Tony.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Tony Clark. He's director of the Polaris Institute. He's author of Inside the Bottle, an expose of the bottled water industry. And you're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.